I thank the Lord for the... Get used to that. Thank the Lord for the opportunity to be here this morning. Can tell you that my heart is burning. Feel like the Lord has been dealing with me for a couple of days and laying a burden on my heart that I felt like he wanted us to share this morning. And we're praying that the Holy Spirit will minister to our hearts, to our eyes, to our ears, to our minds. And I really, with all of my heart, would just hope that you forget that it's Ken Elwell standing here, and that you would just, that the Lord would minister his word and his spirit to your heart, and that you'd receive what he has for each one of us this morning. You ever had children that you would tell them where to find something and they would go look and say they can't find it, and then you go and it's sitting right there, right where you showed them it was at? So they were looking, but they weren't seeing, weren't able to see what they were looking for, but they did look. Or you might tell them to listen to something and they might listen, but they don't hear. And so we're very dependent this morning on the Spirit of the Lord to allow us to see and allow us to hear and to minister to us. And there are not words that we can form, thoughts that we can put together that causes that to happen. There are good speakers, there are people who can really spin a yarn or tell a tale, and they can paint a picture, but it is only the Holy Spirit that is able to open our eyes and our ears and minister to our souls in the way that we need it. Scripture, the Word talks about the Word of God being powerful. It's able to come down and minister to the places that actually no one can see. We can all have different personas and outward appearances, but the Word of God and His Spirit is able to go right down to our heart, to our spirit. And that's our prayer this morning, is that the Word of God would minister to our hearts, would apply to the places that we need it. And I pray that the Lord will help me to be able to deliver this in such a way that I would be out of the way, and that the Lord would be able to minister to us today. I'd like to read this morning, and I can tell you that the scripture that has been going through my mind repeatedly is Hebrews in the 12th chapter. And they mentioned that in the song. Sister Charlotte also mentioned it this morning. She said, Jesus will our leader be. And the burden of my message this morning is looking unto Jesus. And I trust that the Lord will inspire our hearts for us to look unto Jesus in an even greater measure, for us to get a vision of Him in our life and in our heart, that we'll be able to see something that inspires us, that motivates us. People can inspire us and motivate us. There are all sorts of motivations that are intrinsic, extrinsic, internal, external. You go to work to get a paycheck. There's different things that causes us to get up in the morning and do what we need to do. But we need a real vision this morning of the Lord leading our life, because that will be the motivation that causes us to lay aside everything that has hindered us and to continue to run this race with patience. This 12th chapter of Hebrews follows the 11th chapter. And we call that chapter the Heroes of Faith. And we, all of us this morning, could, I'm sure, stand up and talk about heroes that we've known. People that have pointed us in a direction, that have exemplified what it means to trust God in our life, what it means to yield ourselves to Him and His will, what it means to lay down our own thoughts and our own ideas, what it means to make sacrifices of love, what it means to live a life of faith despite the means and all that the world would have around us. We have examples here in the 11th chapter, but I thank the Lord this morning that this is not just a book of history, but this is also a living faith that we have witnessed in our lifetime, time and time again. Men and women have lived before us and shown us what it means to live by faith before God, what it means to dedicate our life to Him, what it means to follow in the footsteps of not just men, but of the Lord, and the faith in Him, in establishing our life and every facet of our life to follow the Lord by faith. And we go through things in life, we go through things in difficult places, and we may not understand those, but I can assure you that every single one of those places is a place that the Lord is wanting us to put our faith in Him. We may not be able to put all of the situations into context. You may not be able to tell me all the details, but I can tell you the answer each and every time is for us to turn our eyes towards the Lord and to put our confidence and our faith in Him. This is the calling for us as His children, is to trust the Lord with our life and everything that is in it. I was thinking sometime this week there were some situations going on and some frustrations and surrounding circumstances, and the Lord ministered to some places and took care of them. And the thought came to mind, that was the fourth man in the fire in that place. And that everything else was hard to understand and things were out of control, but the Lord has a way of ministering Himself to us in ways that we can identify, that we can say, the Lord is here with us in this place, and we can trust Him no matter when the trumpet sounds or it doesn't, or when it's in the time of not eating the pulse, or when it's the time of dedication, when it's the time of yielding, when it's the time of standing strong. We stay true in those places, and I can assure you this morning that the Lord will reveal Himself in those places of fire. We may still have to go through difficult things, but I so appreciate those confirmations where our looking becomes seeing. And we see the fourth man standing with us in those places. I want to read here in the 12th chapter. It says, wherefore seeing. So see, the 11th chapter was like looking. He presented something. He established something for our spirit and our mind to understand. And this morning, as you think about the heroes of faith that have lived in your life, that's like looking. So here in this 12th chapter, I would say seeing then. Being inspired then. By the faith that we have witnessed, that we have identified, seeing that. Do you know that sight brings a change in our behavior? You can look at something and not see what's there. Yesterday we were driving and I was turning off the freeway and I looked both ways and I turned and all of a sudden there was a purple car in the other lane. I told Rebecca, I never saw that car. I looked but I didn't see, and if I had seen him, I for sure would have waited. The Lord had mercy on us, and I happened to go in the right lane. It wasn't on purpose, and the car went by on the other side. I looked, but I didn't see. If I had seen him, I would have changed what I was doing. And so this morning, as we think about the heroes of faith, the call is then seeing then. Seeing then, we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. Those voices that have confirmed to us over time, both living and gone on. Those witnesses sometimes are even on a Wednesday night when someone stands up and testifies. And Wednesday nights are hard times to come together. I encourage you to commit yourself to that time. And I know you've heard that many years now, to make the consecration to be here in those times, because those are some of those witnesses that confirm to our faith, that causes what we're looking at for us to now see something. We'll see people go through things, and it's through their testimony that we hear and can now see what the Lord has done. And then we have voices that have gone on, and those voices, they ring in our ears. They identified and revealed what the Lord's plan was and the perfectness of living for Him. So seeing then, we have this great cloud of witness compassed about. Let us lay aside every weight, those things that would hinder us, those things that we know are a challenge to us. Do you know that when you run a race, there is a full understanding? This is not, I wonder what's weighing me down. The Lord is faithful to reveal those things to us that are weights to us. He is so faithful in that respect. And He calls us, lay down those weights that you will be in a position to respond to those places of seeing what the Lord is doing. That, Lord, I'm willing, whatever it takes, I want to run with patience what you have laid before us. So I lay aside every weight and the sin that does so easily beset us. I've struggled with that verse sometimes. What? We believe living free from sin. What do you mean the sin that does so easily beset us? All of us have tendencies and ways that we're made that we have a weakness towards. And the Lord has a power for us to be able to abstain from those things and to run this race by faith, in victory. That's what He's extended to us. And those voices, that they confirm that time and time again. So this victory, this laying aside of this weight, it has to come from a vision of seeing the Lord, and Lord, I want to follow You, and I want to obtain that prize that You have for us. Do you know when I'm feeling discouraged, when I'm feeling overwhelmed, and the things of life seem, and the trial seems too heavy, our burden and our prayer is, Lord, let us see You. Lord, let my eyes behold Your face. Let me behold Your glory and Your love and Your mercy and all the things that You mean to me. What that name Jesus means to me. Lord, I need to behold that face. That all the things that I feel, they fall into perspective. The race becomes easy to run. The weights become easy to set aside. And let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Run with patience. It's a steadiness. Lord, I got to keep my eyes on You, that despite when I'm tired and when things are not easy. You ever seen people start a race in the beginning? I've done that before. I chase my dog or the kids in the beginning. I'm good, but you keep that up for very long and I'm finished. I've reached my limit. But do you know this morning the Lord is not asking us to run this race by our own strength? He is not asking us to endure the trial by our own determination. He is not asking us to run this race by our own intellect and our own figuring things out. He is not asking us to run the race and to go through the trials and afflictions that we face on our own merit, even on our own past history performance. And that cuts both ways, because sometimes I look on the past and I'm ashamed, and other times I say, well, look what the Lord did in those places. But that's not what we run on this morning. It's on this vision of who Jesus is and what He has done on our behalf. So I can run with patience because it is the Lord. It is the Lord that carries us through these places. It is the Lord that ministers the energy and the strength when we need it. It is the Lord that brings sustainment when I've poured myself out. Our Sunday school lesson this morning was so inspired and touched my heart of pouring ourselves out before the Lord. When we do that, it is the Lord that brings the replenishment, that brings the sustainment, that feeds us like the prophet in the wilderness when he was ready to lay down and die because he had given everything that he had. It was the Lord that ministered to him. And what, on the strength of the Lord's ministration? Did he go one day? Did he go 2 days? No, with patience, he went 40 days and 40 nights all the way through that trial. So I'm telling you this morning that our sustainment comes from our vision of seeing the Lord in the ministration that we get from Him. So above all, Lord, let me see Your face. Let me have the inspiration. You are the one that we live this life for. What does he say in the second verse? He says, looking unto Jesus, the very precious Son of God. You know, he was in heaven in full deity and full power. The scripture says he was there from the beginning. One scripture says they searched all through heaven to find someone that would intercede on our behalf in a place of such great need and desperation with no hope. And there was one. That's what that name Jesus says to me. Looking unto Jesus, the one that laid down his life in love for me and you, to cause us to be able to reconcile to the great living God of heaven. This is Jesus. Looking unto Jesus, who authors our faith, is the beginning inspiration of our journey. And I appreciate this morning that the Lord is not just the beginning inspiration, but He is the one that provides that faith all the way through, all the way to the finisher of our faith. As they sing that song, the sisters sang it, you've run your race. You've accomplished what the Lord had laid in front of you. It is the Lord. It is Jesus is the one from the beginning on day 5, on day 500, on day 1,000, on day 1,500. He has promised never to leave us or forsake us. Men fail. Men may go their own way. People make decisions that we cannot control. Homes are broken because people make choices. They begin something and they do not finish it. Somewhere in the scope, they lose their faith or they lose their way. But the Lord has this promise. He is both the author and the finisher. From the beginning all the way to the end, however long that may be. That is His promise to us. That is our consolation. Lord, we've started this journey with You. You are the one that has led us to this point. And by Your grace, by Your mercy, by Your love, by Your wisdom, by Your word, by all of the tenets that You have given us, You will lead us all the way through. There is no doubt in our mind. There is no fear in our mind of the things that the enemy would do or what this world does. Or there is no fear because we know it is Jesus Christ Himself that has promised to author and finish our faith. Oh, Lord, we want to be faithful to You because You have been faithful to us. That's what inspires our faith, isn't it? When someone shows us love and they take care of us, does not our heart respond? Brother Michael mentioned those that had labored yesterday, and I know he has a servant's heart, but I will assure you that that fire burns a little brighter when the time comes for him to stand in the gap for someone else. Why? Because the Lord created us to respond to the way that He was, that of what He has done for us. Because of His love and His faithfulness, that is a heart service. Lord, let us see what You have done for us, because now my heart is melted. Now those things that used to beset me and those things that I held to, they melt in the face of what Jesus has done for me. When someone treats me wrong, when someone says something, when I am offended, you get very many people together, offenses will come. Offenses will come between just two people by themselves. But when we keep our eyes on the Lord and what He did on our behalf, those offenses begin to melt. Who am I to stand in the face of what Jesus has done on my behalf? Humble ourselves. Lord, I want to submit myself to You in Your love for me. Those things that have stuck in my mind over time, Lord, take those things. Lord, relieve that burden. Lay that aside. Lord, help me to leave it behind me and keep my eyes pressed on You. I think of when Peter was in the boat. We all know that story. He got out and he's walking on the waves and he is defying gravity, logic, knowledge, physics, science. People would say that'll never happen. But there was a power because his eyes rested on the very Son of God. He was the author of Peter's faith in that moment. Do you know why Peter got in the water? Because he looked and he said, that's the Son of God, and I want to be with Him. Forget this boat, flung his coat, and went. And I assure you that if he maintained that faith and kept his eyes, the Lord would have finished that walk all the way across the water. But then he shifted his eyes and he began to look at the things around him, and then he began to see. Jesus had mercy on him, caught him up. Oh, Lord, inspire us this morning. Lord, I want to rest my eyes on You as I never have before. We've lost a shepherd, but we have not lost the shepherd. Lord, lead us. Guide us. Protect us in our homes. Give us the understanding that we need. Do you know the wisdom and the knowledge and the strength and the power all comes from Him? Who, for the joy that was set before him,
Do you know the joy? We think of joy, the joy of heaven, the joy of living for the Lord, but the joy of Jesus was us. The joy that was set before him was to cause his children, for us to be able to return to his bosom. This is what he died for. This was the joy. This was the love that held him on the cross on our behalf. And he instills that love in you and I this morning. Not just for him, but for each other also. We want each and every, all of us to experience this with him. That song, the family of God, it bears new meaning when we go through difficult places, or when we've been places alone, or we've been searching for what the family of God is, and we find that unity and that communion. This was the joy that the Lord died for, gave himself for, to give us not only our relationship with him, but our relationship with each other. The greatest gifts. Why do you think the greatest commandment that he gave us, that he hung all the law, was to love me first, love God first, with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, because of his love for us first. And then it was to love each other like he loved us. Do you know what that means? That means there's going to be times that I go through the suffering of the cross for the joy of each other's communion, just like Jesus did. He gives that love is not natural. That love is not something that we get because we click with someone, or because they're of our same mindset, or because we agree on everything, so I love them, so I can endure it. No, that love goes where there is conflict, where there is challenge, where there are places of disagreement or different mindsets. I'll endure the shame of the cross or the sacrifice of the cross for the joy of our communion together. This is what the Lord died for, to cover all of those places. Oh, and this is his calling for us. Keep your eyes on me. When disagreements arise, put your eyes on me. Humble yourself before the Lord and say, Lord, I want your will, your desire, your love. I want your purpose done. That's my faith. That's my confidence. Because it is only the Lord that will build and create something that brings him glory. Isn't that our purpose this morning? Lord, we want to bring glory to you in our life. This was Jesus' purpose. Different times he would face it, and there would be a voice out of heaven confirming, because there was no other voice to confirm, this is my son. In him I am well pleased. But we have a confirmation in our spirit. And in each other, what the Holy Spirit does for us and what the Lord has delivered us, it confirms those places. Ah, this is my children in whom I'm well pleased. Glorifying his name in our thoughts and in our actions, in our attitudes. Why? Because our eyes are on the Lord. He is the ultimate example and leader for us to live our life day in and day out.
Well, I've lost my notes. Where am I at? It says here he sat down at the right hand of the throne of God, because he had accomplished that work and now is in that place to make intercession. Do you know that's the mercy of the Son? To have done that work on our behalf, and when we find ourselves tired or even falling short on our race, his whole purpose is to make intercession for us, to call us. Adam and Eve hid in the garden because they were ashamed. And it's the enemy that tells us to hide ourselves. And I tell you, it is Jesus that says, I will make intercession for you. Come with me. We're going to go talk to the Father, me and you. I paid the price for that. Sat down at the right hand of God. I think of when Stephen died. Said they stood at the right hand of God. Let's turn to Hebrews in the 4th chapter. Lord, help us this morning. It says, seeing then we have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens, Jesus, that's the one, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was on all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly under the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace. Obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. Oh, I'm thankful this morning that the emotions that I feel and the trials that I endure are not anything new to the Son of God. That He has experienced every frustration, that He has experienced every doubt, that He experienced every feeling of anger that goes through our mind. Those places where we don't understand and we have our own, the Lord understands those places. I'm thankful it's not like the old covenant where He had to go to some priest that you don't even know and He doesn't understand and He's going to make it. No, this is our very best friend that has loved us with such a love, knew how we were formed. Do you know the Lord knows how you're going to respond to things before you do? Because He made you. He understands the thoughts that we are going to have before we have them. And He understands them to the nth degree. And we try to understand each other. And sometimes the Lord gives us enlightenment to see motivations that are behind things that really need to be addressed. But the Lord is the one that can see in those places. And He knows where those thoughts come from. That's why when He became the Word and His Word goes down and touches those places, it touched the motivations of what we feel and what we experience. It's the greatest therapy you can ever have, and it's free of charge. Given to us. Come boldly. Lord, I come to You again and again and again and again because You are the one. My eyes are on You. You are my high priest. You are my Savior. You're my deliverer. You're my comforter. You're my healer. You are the one that will carry me through this life. So, Lord, I come again and again. Don't ever feel ashamed of how many times we have to go down in prayer and say, Lord, I need help again. The same old things I fought before, they're here again. Come boldly to the throne of grace. There's one thing I want to share here I feel like the Lord gave me. I want to read you a couple of scriptures. He said, hold fast our profession. That means that there's times of when we're tried and when we're pressed and we have to hold fast. And there's a couple of scriptures I want to read to you that are germane to this situation. And it made me think of Paul talking to Timothy. And in 2 Timothy in the first chapter in the 13th verse, he said, hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me in faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. That good thing which was committed unto thee, keep thee by the Holy Ghost, which dwelleth in us. Also in 2 Timothy, in the 3rd chapter, in the 14th verse, he says, but continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child that has known the Holy Scriptures, which were able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that a man of God may be perfect and thoroughly furnished unto all good works. We've received a lot of instruction over the years. We have sound doctrine that has been delivered to us. And I encourage you this morning to hold fast to the profession and the things that the Lord has revealed to your heart. When there are times of shaking, it is not time to make rash decisions and changes in our life. Our dependency is on the Lord, and hold fast to the profession and the sound doctrine and the teachings that have been established in our heart. Knowing whom have we learned them from? We've learned them from the Lord. It is by His Holy Ghost that He has revealed those things unto us.
and He is still here this morning and tomorrow and in tomorrow's tomorrow and all the way through. Hold fast to profession and the sound doctrine and the words that have been good counsel for us. Matthew in the 16th chapter, I just want to read this account. Simon Peter. Different ones were saying who Jesus was. In the 13th verse, he said, when Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And I would ask you this morning, who is Jesus? Is he those things to you? Is he your Savior? Is he your deliverer? Is he your conqueror? Is he your healer? They wondered who he was. Said some say that our John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. But Jesus wasn't interested in that. He wanted to know, whom do you say that I am? What is your revelation of Jesus Christ? That was his question. And I encourage us this morning, if that revelation is not clear, the Lord can clear that for us and give us an inspiration of who he is. That our eyes are fastened upon him. Peter said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood have not revealed this unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. He didn't just look at Jesus, he saw Jesus. His eyes just didn't behold these miracles, but he was able to understand, and the revelation was there that this is the Son of God. This is the Messiah. This is my deliverer. This is the one that will establish the kingdom that we will live in the rest of our days in this life and for all eternity. So this morning, as you have a vision of Jesus, if you know who he is, I would say, blessed are you. It is not flesh and blood that has revealed this unto you. It is not good words. It's not just someone that said something, but it is the Father in heaven that has revealed himself unto you, and you can hold fast to that vision. Oh, Lord, what a concept. The God of heaven that has created these beautiful sunsets and this beautiful country that we live in. And all of the things that boggle our mind comes down and ministers to my heart and in your heart in such a personal way that there is a revelation that cannot be taken from us. That is truly a blessing. Blessed art thou this morning. Blessed. You have everything that you need to live faithful to the Lord. He has furnished us. One last scripture I want to just leave with you here this morning. I have a pastor's heart, pastor of congregation, and that's where my burden is there. But I am so thankful that in our own inefficiencies and our own weaknesses, that we have a true shepherd that fills all of those places. And I want to read this to you here. I know it's a familiar passage of Scripture, but Psalms 23, it says, the Lord, he is my shepherd. He is the one that provides our feed, guides us from place to place. You know, there's a thing that shepherds do when sheep get overfed and are sick. They rub their bellies until they can stand on their own again. Do you know why the shepherd has his sheep around his neck? It's to put pressure on the stomach of that sheep. They're called cast sheep. It's why that's an image. So in our places, when we get in trouble, the Lord is my shepherd. He is the one that rubs my belly, that brings those places of peace and ministers to those places. And sometimes, yes, he puts me around his neck and he carries us. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He satisfies us. He feeds us everything that we need. He is the one. It says, he maketh me to lie down in green pastures. It's pretty nice to me. If I look at this world and if I look at the cares of life, it's not peaceful like this. You've got to spend time in the presence of the Lord to lie down in green pastures. You've got to take the time to lay all the cares of life aside and go and spend time with Him. That's when we find those places of lying down where there's an abundance to eat, there's abundance to drink. It satisfies us, it ministers to every place. He leadeth me beside the still waters. We have tumultuous waters sometimes. We have storms we go through. But our real peace comes in those places where, as a shepherd, He says, lie here for a while. Eat and drink. Have that abundant life that I've given you. We can trust Him this morning. We can trust Him to lead us from pasture to pasture, from place to place, from still waters to still waters. And when we go through those places of difficulty, as this psalm says, we have full assurance that this shepherd will lead us again to places of still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the path of righteousness for His name's sake. We are His children. We are the children of God. You know, the Father has not left us comfortless. He has not left us without His leadership and His fatherhood, His provision. He is the one that will be with us every step of the way, leading us in His paths, not mine, but His, because they bear His name. These are my children, and they walk in this way of holiness, of righteousness, of purity, of victory. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, it comes close to us. I will fear no evil. Do you know there is nothing that touches us that cannot come through the Father's hand? So His will is perfect. So when we go through those places where the shadow even is upon us, I'm not afraid. Lord, I believe You. My confidence, You are the author and the finisher of my faith. I'll fear no evil, for Thou art with me. Thy rod and Thy staff, they do comfort me. His word, His correction, His instruction, the sheep uses it for both for encouragement and for correction. Yes, Lord, I want that. A good father gives that correction. A good shepherd says, no, don't eat there. No, don't go over there. That'll make you sick. Don't go through that fence, even though you might see a hole. Don't go through it. There's danger on the other side. He leads us that way. So when we go through those close places, I have no fear. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. In the midst of everything that the enemy would do, You feed us. You provide for us. Times of uncertainty, times of difficulty, You're the one that feeds us. He uses instruments for that. He uses His ministers for that. By the Lord's grace, that's what He's doing this morning, is feeding us by His word, through us as vessels for Him. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. It's a real dichotomy, I guess would be the right word, for the saint of God. We go through times when we feel such great grief and such great difficulty, yet we have such joy. Amen. It's not something the world can understand. When Jesus hung on that cross and He could have called those to come, and instead He submitted Himself, said, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they do. It's not natural. We go through things, we go through difficulties, and the world looks and says, I don't understand that. Where does that joy come from? Where is that peace? In this time, my cup runneth over. Not because I'm so smart, not because I'm so good, but because it is the Lord is my shepherd. He anointeth my head, and my cup, it runs over. I've got enough. I will have enough. Surely, for sure, without a doubt, goodness and mercy, the goodness of the Lord. It's what we want, isn't it, in this life? And this shepherd, he says, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. from beginning to end, the author and the finisher, looking, now seeing what the Lord has done. And I will dwell, I will live, I will abide. It's my place of dwelling, both in this life and in the world to come. I will live here with God's people, with the Lord as my shepherd, as my follower, as my father, as my provider. When we get to heaven, we don't have to fight any more battles. He'll still be the provider. He's the one that has built that place for us. That joy is set before us also. Lord, I want to make it. I want to get there. I want to be in your presence for all eternity because of all that you've done for us. Oh, this morning, keep your eyes on Jesus. Let that inspiration flood over your soul and over your heart. Set aside those things that would so easily beset you, those things the enemy would use for inroads, those ways he'd want to put hooks and drag down. Cast them aside. Lord, I see you for who you are for me. Again, you're my Savior. You're my deliverer. You're my healer. You're my conqueror. Without you, I don't have anything. And I'll run this race with patience, keeping my eyes set on you as long as it takes. Oh, I trust the Lord has encouraged you this morning. Keep your eyes on him, and he'll be the finisher of our faith also. Pray for me.